I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And a very, very special welcome to all of our visitors here this morning. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. After the worship service, please know that we want very much to get to know you. So please stay behind. We want to have coffee with you, and we want to talk to you, talk with you, and we want to get to know you better. Now, as I have always been saying, time passes very, very quickly. Now, before you know it, this is the middle of spring. Did you realize that? Very soon, spring will be over, and then we will have summer, and again, we go into this yearly cycle. And so you see how fast time flies. And so I urge you very, very earnestly to realize how quickly time passes. And before you know it, yes, you were once a young man or young lady, you become an old man and an old lady. And in next to no time, you're going to be called home to be with the Lord. So the big question is, what are you doing for the Lord today, my dear friends? Because one day, we shall all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will have to give an account before Him on that day. How prepared are we in our giving the account to Him when we are called upon to do so by the Lord one day? The subject this morning is the Christian's comfort in death. The Christian's comfort in death. Now I read to you this verse written in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning, in other words, the house of crying, the house of weeping, than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay to his heart. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Because in the house of feasting, you are really quite careless, right? Or we are all quite careless. Yes, in the house of feasting, we are all very, very much consumed by the pleasures of life, and we do not want to think of the great realities of life. I tell you, one of the greatest realities of life is this thing called death. It is the greatest reality. And in the house of feasting, of course, you are oblivious to it. But in the house of mourning, you will definitely have to come face to face with death. You see, right in front of you will be the person lying in their casket. And shortly before that time, if he was your good friend, he will be talking to you, laughing with you, joking with you, smiling with you. But now, he's in the box, lying in front of you. And then if you are in the queue in Singapore, I don't know whether this is the practice here or not. In Singapore, very often we will all queue up to have the final view of the one who passes away. Now, when you get into the queue to look at the one who passed away, do you not sometimes feel that you are queuing up for your turn to get into the box? Don't you not feel that? Yes, sometimes we do feel that. And then the question then will be, are we ready for it? When our turn comes for us to go into the box, are we ready for it? Now it is in the house of mourning that you will be sober enough to have such thoughts concerning this great reality of life, even death. It is there that you are likely to make very, very wise decision to make preparation for the day when the Lord calls you home to be with Him. Now, you don't do that when you are in the house of feasting. You simply have no time for that, no attention for that, no mind for that. But you will do that, probably do that, and more likely to do that in the house of mourning. And that is why it is better to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. Now, while it is better to go into the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, I actually many a time have no desire to go to the house of mourning. Yes, when the house of mourning is one in which there is no comfort, It is one in which you cannot offer any kind of consolation to anybody, to the living, to the loved ones left behind by the person who passed away. Now I refer to the house of mourning in which the one who passed away was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you go to such a place, what kind of comfort can you offer to anybody? No comfort at all. And if the person who passed away was my loved one, I can tell you that I'll be very, very sad. Because I know that the person who has passed away has not gone into the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he has gone to another place, a place of eternal punishment, hell. He'll be there. Then what comfort can I offer to the loved ones of, let's say, my friend who passed away, who was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I say to the person, your loved one has gone home to be with the Lord. He has gone to a better place now. Yes, one day you will have the opportunity to meet him again if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you can offer such words of comfort to the living, the ones left behind by the person who passed away, if he was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to the people who are not the loved ones of the person who passed away, who was not a believer, I can't say that. At most, what can I say? I can say, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry that your loved one has passed away. May you find strength to go through this time of bereavement. What strength? Strength from whom? From where? You see, what comfort can I offer? So you see, if it is a house of mourning in which the one who passed away was not a believer, I really don't feel like going to such a house of mourning. Do you feel like going to such a house of mourning? I'm sure you don't care. Not that you don't care. You just don't feel like going. Because there's just no words of comfort for you to say. But if the house of mourning is one in which the deceased was a believer in the Lord, of course, naturally, I would still feel sad to go to such a house of mourning. But at the same time, I feel great joy in going to that place. I will be filled with thanksgiving because I know that the person who passed away has gone home to be with the Lord. And that's exactly our experience some years ago. I remember the deacons and I drove to Kutamandra to attend the homegoing service of the late Reverend Peter Clements, who used to minister in our church. He served the Lord faithfully for many years. And then in the last few years of his life, he was afflicted with cancer, and he fought cancer, but he lost the battle. And then he was taken home to be with the Lord. Now, when we saw the family comprising the wife and his six children, of course, we were very sad because they were all weeping and crying. We could not help it but shed tears in sympathy with them. But as sad as we were still able to comfort them. We could look into their eyes rather assuredly and say to them, your daddy has gone home to be with the Lord. Yes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One day you are going to see him again. One day the Lord is going to raise him up from the grave. And if you are a believer, you will be able to see him again. And when we spoke to the children, they were sobbing, of course, but they nodded their heads because they realized that there was comfort even in the face of death, in the face of the death of their loved one, their father. Now, so is there comfort in death? When you think of death, think of your own death and the death of your loved ones. Is there comfort in death? Now, it all depends on what death means to you. It all depends on what is going to happen to you after you pass away from this earth. It all depends. Now, what happens when a person dies? Now, this was one of the things that the Thessalonian Christians were very, very concerned with. Yes, they were very troubled, the Christians in the city of Thessalonica, whom the Apostle Paul wrote to. They wanted to know what would happen to their loved ones when the Lord Jesus Christ returned. They just returns. They wanted to know. Yes, and they were very, very concerned that their loved ones who had passed away might just miss the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were very concerned about that. So Paul, in response to their concern, then wrote this letter, 1 Thessalonians First Thessalonians. And in this letter, he included this passage of comfort, the passage that we read earlier on, which we shall read a little later on. Now, whether you like it or not, death is the end of our physical life. True, false? True, you don't like it, it's still true, right? So it is the end of our life. In fact, it is a common end. And the word of God says in Proverbs 22, verse 2, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." The rich and poor meet together, Proverbs 22, 2. It makes no difference whether you are rich or poor, whether you are king or a pauper, whether you are wise or whether you are foolish, or whether you are famous or unknown. It makes no difference. All of us have a common end, and that is death. There is no escape from it. To many a famous person, there is no comfort in death. This famous man, Woody Allen. Woody Allen is an American film director, screenwriter, actor, comedian, writer, musician, and playwright. He says this, "I'm not afraid of death. It is just that I don't want to be there when it happens." Yeah, he said, "Not afraid of death, but I don't want to be there when it happens." You think he can escape death? He can't. Yes. Now, the reason why many famous people do not want to be there when death happens to them is that because they want to continue to enjoy being famous. They want to enjoy the fame. When death comes upon them, then the consciousness of the fame just comes to an end, and they don't want that to happen. They want to continue to enjoy the fame. Then, to many a rich person, there is no comfort in death. In death, the rich person is really no better than a pauper, as we said earlier on. He could be buried in a coffin that is made up of 24-karat gold. Yes, but he's still not richer than the poorest of beggars who didn't even have the money to buy a coffin to be buried in. So the truth is, naked we came into this world, and for sure, naked we are going to leave this world. How sad it must be for a rich man to realize that when he passes away, yes, when his life comes to an end, he has got to leave all his big palaces behind, his limousines behind, his multi-million yachts behind, his pampering lifestyle behind, and his private jets behind. He's got to leave all these things behind. How sad it must be to him to think that all these things that I've possessed, I've been enjoying, I must leave behind. Then for some, it sounds like death is a very welcome event for some, all right? I read about a tombstone that had these words inscribed on the tombstone. Listen to these words. Now, if you've got a pen, just write down these four little sentences, all right, short sentences. All right, you can even put a comma after each of the sentences. All right. "I was not," it goes like that on the tombstone. "I was not. I became. I am not. I cannot." All right, just four short sentences. "I was not, I became, I am not, I cannot." Now, what it means is this. The person was saying this. Once I was nothing, just maybe some small chemicals, right? I was not a human being. Then I was born. I became a human being. Then I lived my life. Then now I'm not, which means I've died. Now I'm not. Then he says, "I cannot." He says, "Now that I pass away, I don't have any more cares." All right, no more burdens, no more cares. And therefore, he says, "I think I should find comfort in death." All right. So if these words were written by the person who was buried in the tomb, he possibly would have thought about death before the event occurred to him. He would have said this, "I was once nothing, right? Then I was born, then I lived my life and of sufferings and pains and with lots of cares and burdens, and I died, and now I'm nothing, I cannot, I do not have any cares at all." So to him, as he looked forward to death, death appeared to be a very welcome event for him. Or maybe he had great pains. He suffered lots of pains while he was on earth. He suffered physical, mental, emotional anguishes. And he said this, you know, I lived my life in that manner. My life was just not worth living. Death would end it all. And so to him, death would be a very welcome event. When I die, I do not have any more care. I do not have any more care. No more pain, no more sufferings, no more burdens. Now, such a person might really be a great supporter of euthanasia, which is mercy killing. People who believe in euthanasia will say, my life is mine. I do not want to have to suffer, to continue to suffer. My life is mine. I do not want to care to suffer. I have the right to die. And when I die, I simply become nothing. My body disintegrates into dust and ashes. I have no more care. So why you allow me to suffer? Let me die. Sue Rodriguez was such a woman. Yes, she was a mother in her early 30s. She died slowly of this disease known as Lou Gehrig's disease. She lived for several years with the knowledge that her muscles would one by one waste away until the day came when, fully conscious, she'll be choked to death. And she begged the courts. She brought the case to court. She begged the courts to reassure her that a doctor would be allowed to assist her in choosing the moment of death. But the courts turned her down. And then, so she lived on in terror, helped eventually by a doctor who, in February 1994, broke the law to help her die. So the argument for euthanasia would be this. Yes, euthanasia is kind. Yes. So why allow the person to, why torture the person? Why allow the person to continue to suffer? Let the person die. It is a very, very kind act for the person to die in that manner. So why deprive the person of that comfort of dying in that manner when after the person dies, he becomes nothing. He simply becomes dust and ashes. So why don't allow him to die? The truth is, my dear friends, there is no comfort in such a death. This kind of death supposes that death ends all burdens, ends all cares, and ends all pains. And this kind of death assumes that when a person dies, he becomes nothing. He simply becomes dust and ashes. Now, friends, understand this truth. This kind of belief, this kind of comfort is false. This kind of comfort is simply imaginary. When a person dies with such a death or with such a belief, my dear friends, he's not going to end his misery. Now, his misery on earth might end, but friends, he's going to enter into another kind of misery. And it is not a case of his coming out of the frying pan and entering into the fire. It is infinitely worse than that. You know, the Word of God tells us this truth about death, about life after life on this earth, or death after life on this earth. Okay? In Hebrews 9:27, it says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is going to be a judgment appointed unto man once to die, and after this, there is going to be a judgment. And the unrepentant sinner who thinks that he has no soul and that he becomes nothing when he dies and becomes nothing but dust and ashes, and my dear friends, is going to be very, very mistaken. When he passes away from this earth, through his miseries on earth end, but he's going to enter into another kind of misery. And that misery is going to last forever and ever, because he's going to cast into hell and then finally into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Because one day there's going to be a judgment for him. He's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he will be found guilty by the one true living God of being a guilty, unrepentant sinner. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, the person who had these words on his tombstone, I was not, I became, I'm not, I cannot, inscribed on his tombstone, a person who had these words inscribed on his tombstone was possibly an atheist. Life to him was just maybe, to his mind, was just a long process of a series of chemical changes. I was some little lifeless chemicals before I was born. Then I was born, then I became alive. And I live my life, and as I grow old, I mature, I go through chemical changes. Then I die. Then my body undergoes chemical changes. I turn into dust and ashes, and that's it, I'm finished. I have no more care at all. I become nothing but dust and ashes, which provide nutrients to feed other forms of life. Now, to such a person, you know, death is really no comfort at all. What comfort is there? Because beyond this miserable life, or whatever life he had, there is no hope beyond his life on this earth. So, my dear friends, yes, what kind of life is that? No hope in the future. It is really no comfort in death for him, because there is no hope for him in the future. How would he live his life, my dear friends, if you knew that he was going to become nothing but dust and ashes? One thing is for sure, he's going to think that he's not accountable to anybody, not to the one true living God, because he doesn't believe that there is a God. So he doesn't think that he's accountable to anybody. There's not going to be any judgment. So he will live the life he wants to live. And if he's a crook, he will live a life as crooked as ever. And his life motto would possibly be this: eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Enjoy, enjoy. It is later than you think it is. What comfort is death in death for him? To him, death is the end of all his pleasures and all this, whatever comfort that he has on this earth. No more comfort to look forward to. No hope to look forward to. In reality, my dear friends, there is no comfort for him at all, because he is going to spend eternity in hell. Now, to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, life would not be, I was not, I became, I am not, I cannot. This is not how he looks at life. Yes, to him, life is very, very meaningful. He sees life as something that is very meaningful. He will say this to himself, and he knows this from the Word of God. He said, I was elected by the one true living God. So very meaningful. I was elected by the one true living God from eternity past. And one day, God appointed for me to be born into this world, into this family. He chose for me to be born into this family. So I was born into this world, I became alive. Then for him, he would live his life. And then there would come a day when God very, very mercifully, lovingly called him to repentance. And he repented. He came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he was born again. So for him, he will be born how many times in his lifetime? Twice. Once physically, once spiritually. Then he lives his life, and then he comes to the end of his life. For him, it is not a case of I'm not. In the case of the atheist, it would be, I'm not, I become nothing. No, but in his case, it will not be, I'm not and I become nothing. In his case, it will be this: when he passes away, straight away his soul separates from his body, and his soul goes straight into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's given this assurance in the Word of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So his life does not come to an end. His life, his soul goes into the arms of the one true living God. Now to the atheist, he says, I cannot, I do not have any more cares. Now it's true with us believers also. When we pass away, our earthly cares will all be terminated, all will have ended. But do you know that we are going to have cares also for eternity? Do you realize that? The Lord is going to give us a care that is very, very joyful. You know, one day, we are going to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you rule, will there be care? Of course there will be a care given to you, assigned to you. But that care will be a very, very joyful care. How wonderful it is to be given this care by the one true living God. To rule with the Lord Jesus Christ one day. So you see, to the believer, there is great comfort in death. He ends all his earthly sufferings and all his burdens. But for him, it is to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Yes, and then one day he's going to be present with the Lord, and he's going to be rejoicing with the Lord forever and ever in the presence of the Lord. And one day he's going to have this wonderful care of ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and if he has been serving the Lord faithfully, when death draws near, he will be able to say like the Apostle Paul. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when his death drew close? He said this: I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them, unto all them also who love his appearing. Yes, so for him, if he is faithful, he knows that one day he's going to appear before the one, the his loving Savior, and to hear his loving Savior say to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, to believers, there is comfort in death, because for him, death has been conquered. Yes, death has been conquered. Now, that's what I want to talk about next. Death conquered for the believer. He understands that death is like sleep. So it's great comfort for him. Death is like sleep. You remember the occasion of the death of Lazarus. Yes, this man who was a good friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose two sisters were Mary and Martha. Jesus was at that time ministering in the northern region along the river Jordan. And Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, sent a message to the Lord Jesus Christ to tell him that Lazarus was very, very sick. And they requested Jesus to go to Bethany, to their home, to heal Lazarus. But by the time the Lord Jesus Christ received the message, Lazarus had already died. And so the Lord said to his disciples in John chapter 11, verses 11 to 14, I'll read a few verses to you. "These things said he, and after that, he saith unto them," he said unto his disciples, "our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." You see, he sleeps. I'm going there to wake him out of sleep. "Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Verse 13, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep." They thought that Jesus was talking about sleep. "Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Lazarus is dead. So in the eyes of the Lord, death is like sleep. Now, before I go on, I want to clarify one point, lest we make a very serious mistake in our belief. Now, when the Lord refers to death as sleep, he's not talking about soul sleep, all right? He's actually talking about death. Yes, some people believe that when a person dies, his body and his soul go to sleep. They believe in that. The truth is, the soul does not go to sleep, all right? What goes to sleep is his body. His body is buried into the ground, but the soul does not go to sleep. The word of God is very, very clear. When a person dies, when his body separates, when his soul separates from the body, the soul straight away goes into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We mustn't forget that. Now, the truth is clearly given to us also in 2 Corinthians, is given to us clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. I read the three verses for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8, the verse that I've been quoting quite a few times already. "Therefore," Paul says, "we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body," we, meaning our souls, "we in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 7, "for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body." We, absent from the body, and be present with the Lord. Who are the we? The we, of course, does not refer to our physical body. It refers to our souls, the real we, the real us. Yes, when we pass away, our souls straight away go into the presence of the Lord. The soul does not go to sleep. It does not go into the ground. What goes into the ground is the body. Yes, but the soul goes straight into the presence of the Lord. Now, death also has another meaning. It means spiritual death. Now, spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. Physical death is separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "For your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So it is the separation of us, the soul, from the one true living God. And if a person is unrepentant and he does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, his soul continues to be separated from the one true living God. And when he dies physically, yes, his soul continues to be separated from the one true living God. It's going to end up in hell, continue to be separated from the one true living God for eternity. And one day, the physical body of the person who died would be resurrected from the ground. Yes, and then the soul and the body will then come together. And this person will then have to stand before the great white throne of God, where he will be judged as a condemned, guilty sinner. And he will be condemned, cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, to us believers, there is comfort in death, because for us, when we look at death, we realize that death has been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for us. He paid for the penalty of our sins. Yes, he paid for our sins. And he satisfied the requirements of the law, which we can't satisfy at all. But he satisfied the requirements of the law perfectly on our behalf, by obeying the laws perfectly on our behalf. And the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, when he died for us, took the sting of death out of death. Alright, in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, we read that, this truth: the sting of death is sin. Yes, death has a sting, and the sting of death is sin, and the sting of death is fatal. Once we are stung by the sting of death, we die. Yes, we die spiritually, and one day we'll die physically. But the great news is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has taken the sting of death on our behalf by his death on the cross of Calvary. I gave you this illustration before, but I give it to you again. One day, a father and son were driving in a car, and then there was a bee buzzing in the car, and the child was very frightened. He said, "Daddy, Daddy, the bee, the bee." The father said, "My son, don't you worry, because the bee will not sting you. The bee has already stung me. It will not sting you." Now, you see, apparently, when a bee stings something, or stings an animal, or stings a person, the sting of the bee has been torn away from the abdomen of the bee. So the bee, the sting is torn away, and then shortly after that, the bee will have to die. Apparently, this is the case. So, in our case, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the sting of the sting of death out of death. So, my dear friends, he has saved us. He has taken the sting of death on our behalf. That is why on the cross of Calvary, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was able to make this victorious cry. He said, "It is finished. It is finished." And the victory over death is complete by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Our sins have been paid for. To believers, because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are no longer separated from the one true living God. Yes, they are no longer spiritually dead. If you have trusted in him, you are no longer spiritually dead, but you are spiritually alive. And let us understand this truth. Yes, both spiritual death and spiritual death and physical death have been conquered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as far as we believers are concerned. So we believers can say amen to this truth given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 54 to 57. I'd like us to read these few verses together, all right? We can really say amen to this, because the sting of death has been taken out of death for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all right? Our Lord has conquered both spiritual and physical death on our behalf. So we can say this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. Let's read a few verses together. Let's go. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, therefore, all right, I think we'll stop there. Good enough. Verse 54 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Now, the body that we have today is a corruptible body, right? When we die, our body also corrupts. But one day, my dear friends, this incorruptible body will put on an incorruptible body, a glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And we can all say amen to that if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has conquered death on our behalf, and therefore we can say he has given us victory. Right, as verse 57 says, he has given us victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Of course, victory over death. He has given us victory over death in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is the last enemy. Now, the greatest comfort for believers is that one day he's going to see death ended visibly. Now, we say that death has been conquered, but we have not seen death being destroyed visibly. But one day we'll see it visibly with our own eyes. We'll see that death, that on that day, will have been completely destroyed. I refer to you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Right, the verses that we read before the message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see here, death is destroyed right before our eyes. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I read for you. Paul says, remember he was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. They were very, very concerned about their loved ones. They were very concerned that their loved ones might just miss the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote them with this and gave them this assurance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep means those who had died. But that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, those of us who are alive at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns will not go before those who have been buried in the ground. Yes, they will be brought up to the Lord first, and then we. All right, we carry on. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, they shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So you see, there's great comfort in death. One day we are going to visibly see death literally destroyed before our eyes. The dead in Christ will be raised up from the grave, and they will be brought up to be with the Lord in the air. And those of us at that time who are alive will follow after. We will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And not only they will be caught up, not only we will be caught up, but another thing that will happen is this. We'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and then we shall be like him. We will put on glorious bodies like that of his. So, friends, for us believers, there is great comfort in death. Our earthly life ends. Our separate body, our soul separates from our body, and our soul goes straight into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Word of God has given us this assurance: to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, there is great comfort for us because death has been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the sting of death out of death on our behalf by dying on the cross of Calvary for us. And then he came and he obeyed the laws perfectly on our behalf, something which we are not able to do. And then he rose up from the dead victoriously, telling us very, very assuredly that he has conquered death. And as he rose up from the dead, one day those of us who die in the Lord Jesus Christ will also rise with him. And one day we'll definitely see death being conquered visibly. Now by faith we know that it has taken place. The Lord has conquered death. But one day, we are going to see death visibly conquered. We are going to see that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive at that time, we don't have to go through death, we'll straight away be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ will rise from the dead and be caught up with him in the air, and those of us alive at that time will also be raptured. So it's clear, death will be visibly conquered when the conqueror comes to claim us for himself. So there is comfort in death. Now, while we have this comfort, let us be very, very well prepared for that visible conquest, because it's going to come someday, that visible conquest over death. But let's be prepared for that event. And how may we be prepared? The Lord Jesus Christ has given us two words. Yes, or few words. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. We must be occupied in his business. It doesn't mean that all of us must give up our jobs and so forth and then serve the Lord full time. What it means is, wherever the Lord has placed us in, whether we are studying, whether we are working, whether we are serving the Lord full time, in whatever areas that we are in, we are to go all out to serve the Lord, to bring him honor and glory to his name. That's what is meant by being occupied till he comes. Then one day, if we are faithful to him, we'll be called to stand before him, before his judgment seat, and then he's going to say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now then, those of us who are still outside the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you this question. Is there comfort in death for you? Is there? No comfort at all. Yes, when you pass away from this earth, you have no hope at all. What comfort is there? Even if you have all the best things to enjoy on this earth, remember this, when you pass away, you're not going to carry anything along with you. You're going to leave all these things behind. And then what? No hope. And if you're outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go into a place of utter, absolute misery. You'll be tormented day and night for all eternity in that miserable place called hell and the lake of fire. So why do you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Yes, come and believe in him, and then like all the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be able to say triumphantly, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" You'll be able to say so. You know why? Because the Lord has given you the victory over death through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great comfort that you have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord God, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has conquered death for us. And we thank you that one day we are going to see death visibly ended when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Yes, for on that day, the dead in Christ will be raised up, and those of us who are true believers in him will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. How great and how wonderful that day is for us. Thank you for this great comfort in the Lord Jesus. And we pray for those who are still outside the kingdom of God, who do not have this comfort in death. We pray that today they may realize the utter misery that they are in and will be in if they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We pray that you will move their hearts, cause them, O Lord God, to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior today. In his blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.